Don Tony. Don Tony is a compassionate human being.
If I was employed with TNA right now, I would say,
you know, you trust your employees.
No, well, you know, you gotta look at it like this.
Don Tony is a sportsman.
I fucking used it as a frisbee. I chucked it at the down the block the other day just for fun.
Don Tony is an articulate speaker.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh!
Don Tony is a food connoisseur.
When the McRib first came out, you know, I had it. It was delicious. I ate like five of them, I remember, in like a two-day span. The thing was is that after a couple of weeks of the McRib, like the newness about it wore off, wasn't as exciting anymore. And, you know, and then all, I found myself, you know, McDonald's saying, you know, give me a double quarter pounder with cheese. And I wasn't really into the McRib anymore. Like,
so this year, when you go to the voting booth, think of a real American. Think Don Tony for presidency.
Blah, 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 blah.
So long, man. Have a good trip.
Fuck you!
Tears of my enemies. Tears of my enemies. Drinking them every day. Tears of my enemies. Good evening, everyone. I don't think you're enemies. What's up, friends? It is Saturday night, November 6th, 2021. Look, we're 300 away from 22,000. Love it. Love it. Much love. I think this week we'll be able to make the announcement. Put it on paper. We'll make it official. Show's going to the next level. We're moving on up to the east side. Hey, I got a question for everybody out there. I got a question. Seriously. I want to get right into it because I'm a little bit sick and tired. And look, let me make this clear. Everybody out there has a right to their opinion. No question. When opinions are stupid, and we know they're stupid, you know, okay, maybe you politely leave the person alone. Let them think what they want to think. Daniel Bryan's had his best career in history in AEW. He's only been there a month. I don't even think it's been that time in a month towards a certain relative of his yet. And already saying he's had the greatest career in his history. Shows you how much they know about him pre-WWE. Forget all that. Some people post dumb opinions just to garner a reaction, just to get attention. They're usually called trolls. We don't pay no mind to the trolls. We don't acknowledge them. We can make fun of them. We could criticize them. You don't call them out by name. You don't retweet their stuff. You just let them be. But others that have a deep, deep opinion as to how they feel about the way things are going in wrestling, you have to respect it whether you agree with it or not. And boy, do I disagree with this. There is an odd, weird fetish going on in the internet wrestling community to insist that Triple H is a victim. He's a clown. He's a chump. He's a dunce. All his power is taken away. Yet, we just had a conference call 2 days ago. $255 million in revenue, record profits, the stock up 60% in a year, making billions and billions of dollars. Not one investor asks, what's going on with Hunter? Paul, what's going on with Triple H? Everybody from Tom's Dick in Wrestling to Jeremiah's steak wrestling and ribs is telling you that Triple H has got no more power. He's a dunce. He's just worthless in that company. In 2010, and I'm reading from Wiki. I know Wiki is not always accurate, but I know this is because it's on WWE Corporate as well. In 2010, Paul Levesque's role as an executive senior advisor was officially formalized as he was given office at WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, 11 years ago. 11 years. He was named executive vice president, talent, and live events in 2011. In 2013, the title was elevated, to executive vice president of talent, live events, and creative, where he worked with WWE creative direction and storylines and programming. That year, he earned a combined salary of over $1.5 million from his job in the office and as a wrestler. His title was elevated, not downgraded, elevated to executive vice president, global talent strategy and development, drum roll please, last year. You know, the guy has no power. Last year. In this role, he oversees the company's talent development department and serves as a senior advisor to the CEO for talent strategy. He answers to Vince, Dick Khan. He is also the executive producer and founder of NXT. Guys, gals, let me ask you an honest question. Let me ask you two honest questions. Chat room, help me with this one. Brandon Thurston, who I very much respect, doesn't seem to post the answer. Nobody in corporate WWE seems to be very specific about it. So I'm going to ask you, how much does NXT generate in revenue for WWE? Huh? How much? How much of that $255 million? Someone? Anyone? Any idea at all? No. You know. I want to show you something. Take a little, this is live right now. Hopefully this works without a hitch. This is the current WWE website, okay? Let's look at the current WWE roster. Now, we're not going to mention every name out there, but as we're scrolling down this list, I want you to think to yourself, who passed through NXT, whether for a short period of time, or a long period of time, who passed through NXT, who has made it to the roster, main roster, and who's done pretty good on the main roster. Gee, as I'm going through this list, you know, I already see some names. Street Profits, you know, could be a little better, but, oh, Asuka, yeah, Triple H, you know, not responsible for Becky Lynch, Bayley, Bianca Belair. Sure, Big E is not the Big E that was in NXT. But, you know, it's interesting. I go down this list. There's quite a few wrestlers that came through NXT. They're doing a pretty damn decent job of themselves. Damian Priest. Look at that. I mean, with Sasha Banks, the boss. Yeah, look. Yeah. Come on, people. When people are saying to you that Triple H has lost it, that WWE is taking away everything of this guy, that Triple H's footprint in the history of WWE is being vanished, it's being erased. You know, Chris Benoit gets erased, not Triple H's legacy. And look at all these stars of tomorrow. Look at the stars that are just getting their feet wet. I mean, we could keep going. And look at some of these others, you know, future stars, current stars, big stars on the main roster. Look at this. You tell me that if Triple H's footprint is all over this, we might as well finish the list. Why not? Let's stick the dagger in a little bit more. I know what you're going to say. Oh, no. Seth Rollins. He was Tyler Bate. Oh, no, not Tyler Bate. Oh, my God. I'm mixing up the two. Time to have a cup of coffee. Look at this. Shayna Baszler. Go down the list. I know Shinsuke has been a major star in Japan, but come on, seriously. Look at this. It just keeps going and going. I don't know about Zach Gibson yet, but soon. All right. So let me ask you a question. Again, how much is NXT responsible for the revenue of WWE? I know, Tyler Bate, Tyler Black. I know. It's coffee time. You get my point. Oh, my God, Keith Lee released. It sucks. I told you on Thursday, we don't know the complete answer. But you know what I think it could be? Karrion Kross, they totally missed the boat. Oh, by the way, Karrion Kross, problem in the locker room.
Bullshit level, DEFCON 5.
Karrion Kross, and I'm not saying it because he's friend. Karrion Kross is one of the most professional people out there. Guy tries to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad because it's a challenge. Now, since he's let go, now he could let it out. Basically, he had this big fart that he held inside. And we go to creative. Oh, we're going to do this. You know, you ever see that episode of Beavis and Butthead where they weren't allowed to laugh? And you had the teacher, Butt Kiss, whatever the names were. And then they went outside. Now, Karrion Kross could let the fart out. But let's be honest, everybody. Of the names that were released, nobody wants to be honest with you. With the economy the way it is, this is not 2018. And don't say, oh, it's not because Trump is in power anymore. No, the economy is much different. They are micromanaging. You think people would have figured it out when Nick Khan got rid of half their office staff? Why? Because why are we spending this much money for this many people where we could spend this much money and do the same job? Yes, WWE hired way too many people. But what's happening now is, how many times over the years have I done this? Now, you've only seen me do this over 2 years because I'm on video now. WWE in the last couple of years throws shit on the wall and hopes it sticks. The days of WWE having someone sit in the company for 3-4 years and making a decent salary is over. You have to produce now. If your payroll is low, and I'm sorry for singling this guy out again, but if your payroll is low, you end up like Jackson Ryker. You know, decent in the ring, good physique, good ability, not getting paid a whole lot of money. Some people have to fit that role. The guy actually is very talented, but I think he's damaged goods, and we're just being honest about it. It's nothing personal. But for all of you out there that keep hearing people and reading people, they want Triple H to be this chump. Since when is Triple H not a product of the establishment? Since when is Triple H not part of management? Triple H has been there since the mid-90s. Triple H has been an executive in that company. And let me ask you another thing. Who hires these wrestlers and brings them to NXT? Who hires them? Who signs the check? The same people who signed the release. These people try to make you think that Triple H goes out and grabs these people and hires them and then tells Vince and Nick Khan later, I got this guy, I got this girl, you're going to love her. I'm not trying to diss on Triple H at all. actually the opposite. But I ask you this question. I just showed you the current roster. From the four horsewomen down the line and everyone else that has become big stars in WWE, I ask you this. When some people do not succeed on the main roster, but were a little bit better in NXT, when does someone say, you know, maybe that's partly Triple H's fault? Because Triple H maybe developed this wrestler who is better suited for young audience, small audiences, small crowds. Triple H knows what Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard and everybody else in creative, he knows the formula, he knows the template. So if Triple H develops it, someone, and they're not necessarily the exact template of the main roster, there is risk that is going to fail. So when do people stop insisting that Triple H is a victim? He should go start his own company. He should quit. He should leave. He's unhappy. He's a dunce. Why? Because people are telling you this? The guy is one of the biggest persons involved in that company. Nobody who invests tens of millions of dollars asks WWE, what's going on with Paul? Because that's what they call him, you know, in the executive world, Mr. Levesque. You know, Mr. Levesque is very high, you know, responsible for this company. What is he doing? Blah, 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 says that he's sitting in a corner. All his power has been taken away. I mean, do some of you out there, because I know some people are going to tune into this that don't normally tune into the shows. I ask you this question. Do you want to know the truth? Or you just want a reason to rip WWE? You want Triple H to be your outsider, who's an insider, who is just fed up with the WWE mantra after all these years, and he's going to leave and be your next Paul Heyman. What planet are we on? Seriously. We brought it up Thursday. I see record numbers, record profits. I see crazy-ass sales. I see all this stuff going on. And people say, still, WWE is dying. That creative should be terminated. That people are managed. Why? Because you feel bad that somebody got released. I don't want to see anybody fired. But when people turn around and cherry-pick one, two, three, five people that ended up didn't work out on the main roster, it went south, but yet there's another 15, 20, 25, 30 people that came through NXT where he pointed, and he did a pretty damn good job in there, really high in the food chain on the main roster. No, those don't count. Those don't count. Please, man. Alex G., what I'm saying is not a shot towards JD or Jason Solomon. So everybody has a right to their opinion. You know, if that's how they view this situation, that's their opinion, just like is mine. I don't think, you know, anybody should. Yeah, you know, I'm giving you my argument why I feel the way I do and I see it the way it is. You know, you have to, like I said, we don't have to agree with WWE's decisions, but we have to understand it. You have to understand it. We could criticize, we could complain, oh, and I'm going to criticize WWE right after I put this little timestamp, because yes, the Saturday shows are turning into like the biggest viewing show, and who, hey, go figure. This is the show that inked the contract more than anything else to go on this network very, very soon. But, I'm going to vent right now. Sorry, Nia Jax haters. You may not like what I'm going to say. Isn't it interesting? That mental health, it's the most important attribute, aspect that everybody feels. It's the most important thing, especially when it comes to social media, especially when it comes to the real world, mental health. top of the list, mental health. And what does everybody say? Look, I may not like AEW, and you may not like WWE, and you may not like NXT, and I may like Roman Reigns, and you may not like Roman Reigns, and I may like the Elite, and you don't like the Elite, but at the end of the day, we're just wrestling fans. We got to be better to each other. And that's usually after somebody takes their life. We got to be better. You got to stop the hate. Stop this, stop that, stop this. Isn't it interesting that mental health only seems to apply for wrestlers that people like? We talked about Tammy Sitch 6 days ago in the hospital, probably going back to prison, has serious issues, mental dependency. I don't mean mental as in a nut job, but toxic relationship, issues with alcohol, you know, depression in ICU, and nobody wants to cover it unless they break a news story. That's how much they care about mental health. Check this one out. On Thursday, we were talking about the releases. And a few of you out there super chatted about Nia Jax and said, hey, word going around is that Nia Jax and a few others were released because they are unvaccinated. I know at least seven people who are on the roster right now who are not vaccinated. Not for me to put their names out there. It's none of my business. I respect anybody out there who chooses not to be vaccinated. But, you know, be very careful. But what did I say on Thursday? As far as I know, and from those that I ask, just because I don't tweet that, oh, I checked with my sources, I talked to someone in WWE, I jerked somebody off to get news. I don't have to say that. I don't run to Twitter every time I ask something. Just like I don't run to Twitter every time I wish someone well or do a little favor for someone or try to make someone feel better. It's amazing that there's actually nut jobs out there that think that your goodness is based on how many times you tell everybody that you're good. Almost all of you out there do so many good deeds that is never made public. Never made public. Anyway, I said, as far as I understand, there's been no memo, no email, no text message, nothing where somebody was being let go because of their vaccination status. Vaccination status didn't even come up. So I said, unless you hear it from someone's mouth directly, I would take that with a grain of salt. Could vaccination be part of it? Absolutely. Especially with some of these proposed changes for January 4th. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. It has nothing to do with wrestling. So Nia Jax now puts out a statement. Now for everybody out there that still said, oh no, DT, you're wrong, DT. These websites, they're legit. They're legit. They're saying that she got let go because she's unvaccinated.
Oh, come on now. That ain't even bullshit. That's horseshit.
Check this out. Nia Jax issued this statement. I usually keep my personal life private, but yesterday's reports leave me no option but to clarify matters. I recently took a short leave of absence from the WWE for a mental health break. I've been working through so much, more than I could share. So I took some time with the full support of the company to take care of myself. Now, before I go any further, remember, September 1st, we lost Daphne. Suicide. That night is a night that just, it's just really, really upsets me. Still upsets me. Always, and I know for a lot of you out there as well, WWE passed out a memo at that time reminding the whole roster that there is counseling available, that mental health is a priority, and that if anybody has any issues with mental health, they'll take care of it. They'll be there for those wrestlers. So anyway, what is that, 2 months ago? So now let's go back to Nia Jax's statement. She recently took a break, mental health. Earlier this week, after WWE sent my schedule to return to the ring for the November 15th show, I asked for an extension to my mental health break, feeling that I needed more time and hoping I would have the ongoing support of the company I've given my all for the past 7 years. I did not receive a response. The next thing I heard, I was being released. My vaccination status was never mentioned. I wasn't given any choices or options. It breaks my heart to be so abruptly let go, without consultation, without dealing with so much privately. I loved my career at WWE. I loved the men and women I worked with, and I'm going to need time to process this huge loss. I appreciate those people who have shown understanding and compassion during an incredibly difficult time. How many of you out there saw websites today that didn't even mention it? Didn't even bring it up. Just because they don't like Nia Jax. Nia Jax took time off for mental health issues. Why? Her mental health doesn't matter that much because she hurt Kairi Sane. Because she sucks in the ring. Because you don't like her. She asked for a little bit of additional time off, citing mental health. WWE didn't even answer her back. Fuck you. You're fired. I honestly think she will be brought back. I honestly think this will be sort of a Drake Maverick once again. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Even if you're not a fan of Nia Jax, and I totally respect you if you're not. I happen to be a fan of Nia Jax. I've expressed that. I will also say earlier on, very careless in the ring, especially someone that size, you could do some major damage, and she has, no question. But I am a fan of Nia Jax. I don't know her personally, but I know some who are friendly with her, and they say nothing but nice things about her. In fact, some people even looked up to her a little bit as kind of a locker room leader, like almost like the police woman. I mean, I'm not saying a lot of people, but some looked at it that way. But the point is, you have, straight from her mouth, that the reason why she's not on TV right now is because she needed a mental break. And WWE wants to return on November 14th. And she says, can I have some additional time off? I'm still dealing with a lot of mental health issues. Not even a no. Just, you're fired. That is fucked up. That is fucked up. Because, you know, I know some of you probably thought of this. Is WWE paying for John Moxley's inpatient aqua rehab? Don't know. I don't want to know. It's none of my business. But as I've said before, these are tax write-offs for WWE when they do gestures like this. It's a kind gesture, no question. Anybody that's ever worked for the company, it's available. It's a tax write-off. But especially with how everybody talks about mental health. And trust me, a lot of you out there talk to people every single day on social media that are dealing with it. There are people out there that, let's be honest, have very thin skin. Very thin skin. And some people can't handle some of the things that go on social media. You never take someone's mental health for granted. That's why when it comes to me, anybody who has done me wrong, you know, I usually don't make much public because I always think to myself, you know, even if I got enjoyment with chasing someone offline for exposing a whole bunch of bullshit about someone, what if social media is like their biggest joy? What if the stories that they tell and the good things that they claim to do, which is all a lie, it's not me to be the one policing what's true and what's not. When I have people who have slighted me, and there's been probably 100, I choose, you know what, for me, and I said it earlier today, and I took it down because I didn't want it to look like it was rubbing salt in wounds, but to me, the ultimate this to your haters and your jealous folk out there is happiness and success. Circle yourself around people who make you happy. Circle yourself around people who get your mind off of negative shit. And anybody out there that is a fake, a fraud, for whatever reasons, even if you know that they are, you never know. Your remark could push somebody over the edge. And I'm not going to live with that on my conscience. Thank you, Garth, for the kind words. But when it comes to Nia Jax, you know, it reminds me of the Lana stuff. Lana was very disliked by a lot of people as well. And they did that WWE 24 special, and they showed her crying about some of the hate that's online. Why do people find it so hard to believe that in this day and age that we have raised a generation of people who can't handle even the slightest? You know, I it's not a joke, but I talked about it before. When I was a kid in kindergarten, you know, I pulled this girl's hair. I threw a rock at her and everything like that. And, you know, I don't know why I did it. I think I liked her, and probably she didn't like me. And I just, like, as a little kid, stupid, did what I did. You know, you pull someone's hair now, that's bullying. You make a joke about something, and yes, it is to an extent, but this day and age, you see the jokes when Trump first became president, that college areas needed safe space where you could draw crayons or chalk on a floor and drink hot chocolate. It's not just wrestling, it's across the globe. This generation has a lot of people that cannot handle, you know, some of the bullying and the hate that maybe 20, 30 years ago people became immune to. So Lana, they do the 24 special and she's crying. And I read people who are well-respected. I read people saying, she's a fucking actress. She's got money. Look at her looks. She's married. She's got a beautiful house. She can get anything she wants. That's bullshit. That's what I think of when I see what's going on with Nia Jax. Look at all the people now that don't give a flying you-know-what about Nia Jax's mental health simply because they don't like her. But yet, if something tragically goes wrong with Nia Jax, they'll be the first person to tweet, retweet, tattoo it, wallpaper to their page. We need to be better. Can't we all just get along? Can't we just be nice to each other? You know, even though we don't like certain people, at the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans and we all love wrestling and that's what it's all about and blah, 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 blah. And then once the person is 6 feet under, you know, and the body is deteriorated into dust, then it's right back to being the same pricks that they are. So my honest opinion is I think Nia Jax will be brought back. I think within a couple of days, watch. Everybody that you interact with online or anybody who has been online in the last 24 hours that you know is tweeting and retweeting about everything they possibly can imagine, they all know about this Nia Jax mental health story. I guarantee you, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, once it catches on and everybody makes it into a big story, then you'll see people, oh no, look, I was offline. I was sleeping. I had a dinner engagement. I had a chess game. I had a date last night. I'm just learning about this Nia Jax story now. That's fucked up. Mental health. You watch. Once it becomes a popular item, hey, I could get 45 likes. If I just say that we should all just get along and it's not about Nia Jax, whatever her real name is. This is not about Nia Jax now. This is about blah, 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 blah. You watch. You watch. Best wishes go out to Nia Jax. Fuck you to WWE for doing that. Even if one had nothing to do with the other, an explanation. Even if somebody that made this decision to release all these people, somebody should have given him like, look, I don't know if you saw this, but Nia, you know, she requested some additional. Fuck. We can't let her go under these circumstances. All right, look. Get her on the phone. Tell her, look, you know, we were going to let her go because of budget cuts, which you and I have already talked about. Tell her that, you know, we're going to keep her aboard. But, you know, she's got to understand that, you know, things may change in the future. I mean, it's not business. I mean, it's not personal. It's business. This is fucked up. Thank you, Bongstyle. Bongstyle, like I always say, you know, talking about corporate WWE, talking about stories like this, it's not sexy. It's not what draws in tons of viewers to a page. But I'd rather have a smaller audience that gets it, that understands it, than to have a gigantic audience that just said, fuck you, WWE. Fuck you for Keith Lee. Fuck you for Karrion Kross. Fuck you for... Scarlett will be fine. Scarlett will be fine. You hear about Scarlett? I'm just... If you see me looking down, only because I'm putting timestamps. I have to do timestamps for Saturdays. Scarlett. Scarlett asked her fans, would you like me to have an OnlyFans account? I think you all know the answer to that. She'll be fine. I got a funny story to share you. It's another one of those, this, and I don't want to be first. I want to be right. You'll find this cute. Kevin Matthews, good guy. Anybody that checks out the Thursday shows, I actually worked several wrestling events with him. I actually had some interaction with him. He beat the fuck out of me on a VPW show, handcuffed me to a guardrail, and bloodied me up. I'm going to show the video soon. Kevin Matthews has his own promotion now, and he's been doing an awesome job for the last couple of years. So check this out. Kevin Matthews, you know, from my neck of the woods. Karrion Kross, Scarlett. Before, a couple of years ago, Kevin Matthews was helping him with bookings. Kevin Matthews was handling their stuff. Kevin Matthews is handling Scarlett's stuff right now. Jess Tech the Great. Welcome to the family, my friend. And we'll talk about King Kong Moxka in a second. So Kevin Matthews is helping Scarlett right now with bookings, business decisions. And believe it or not, he's already received emails from people asking for foot videos from Scarlett. Willing to pay big bucks for Scarlett to film a video of her feet and other stuff. Some more perverted stuff, which we'll not talk about today, but you'll get a kick out of this. So, you know, we always laugh about Shit Skeeter, that awful website that honestly, you know, anybody out there could be a writer if they want to. Well, check this one out. Cultaholic. Oh, Cultaholic. Remember, everyone, since 1997, my motto is, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. Kevin Matthews posted a tweet. Mitch Wadden, whatever it is. He is the editor in chief. He is the editor and tribal chief of Cultaholic. This is not no 15-year-old teen that is writing on the site and then runs to high school and says, look, everybody, I write for Cultaholic. And you should suck my Cultaholic. This is the editor-in-chief because he's got to break news to tell everybody. Karrion Kross and Scarlett's first post-WWE booking revealed. Oh, my God, that's big news. So he writes, Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux have seemingly not wasted any time in getting work booked following their respective WWE releases, with the duo announced for an indie event in December. Kross and Scarlett have been confirmed to be appearing at the WrestlePro Alaska event, I Heart Wrestling, at the Sullivan Arena in Anchorage, Alaska, on Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. Guys, I want to show you the banner that Kevin Matthews put on that same tweet saying that he's handling their bookings. Everyone, brace yourselves. And I'm sorry if this sounds a little bit morbid, but they're digging up Road Warrior Animal, everybody. They're digging him up. Look at that. Tyson Kidd could return to the ring December 7th, 2019. This guy looked at a banner, didn't even read the tweet, and he's like, oh my God, they're back. Run. Put online. We gotta be first. Cut the hole like this way. Everybody will cut and paste. Cut the hole. You dumb motherfucker. And then the best part is everybody is telling Cultaholic, which is run by a, keep my mouth closed, for 15 hours, they're telling them, your story is wrong. You didn't read the tweet. Editor and tribal chief, that is a banner from 2+ years ago. He's all Kevin Matthews said is he was trying to get them to work their show in 19, but plans changed and they couldn't make it. He's handling their bookings. They still left it up. Why? Because it's about hits. It's about hits. Why do you think some of these blue check marks that are the awful bottom of the barrel still get blue check marks? Because as far as Twitter, it's exposure, even if it's not good exposure.
Warning, warning, bullshit alert.
Unbelievable. Again, this is not no 14-year-old, hey, I just got my first pubic hair writer. This is the editor and tribal chief. Jerk off. Oh, by the way, shout out to Roger Rubio. Thank you very much, my friend. Yes, I was at the diner earlier today having my, hey, we signed a contract lunch, brunch. And yes, I did. I wasn't planning on drinking coffee. I'm having coffee right now, too. But I bought a coffee today. And when I ordered the coffee, my fiance said, you just said you didn't want coffee. I said, yeah, but Roger bought me a coffee. She's like, who's Roger? And I was like, don't worry about it, son. Thank you, my friend. And Crazy Cruiserweight, thank you very much for this super chat as well. My thoughts on King Kong Mosca, Angelo Mosca, passing away. Listen, I don't want to be a jerk. I watched so many people write today, you will be sorely missed. No, he isn't. Most of these people don't even know what the fuck he did in wrestling. The guy's 84 years old. God bless him. He lived a long, interesting life. Canadian Hall of Fame, the infamous brawl from several years ago. Angelo Mosca, King Kong Mosca, was a wrestler, you know, Hall of Famer, and did WWF as well, but he was more of the let's feed him the Bob Backlund heels that would come in for a little while. If anybody follows my website and follows my shows, we have talked many times in the past. The worst wrestler sibling, son, The worst son or daughter wrestler I ever saw was King Kong Mosca Jr., Angelo Mosca Jr. That was just, you want to see wrestle crap? Honestly, you could find Zach Gowen with no legs, and they would wrestle better than Angelo Mosca Jr. But this is not about Angelo. This is about King Kong Mosca. God rest in your soul. Rest in peace. 84 years old. I hope I live to be 84 years old. Really intimidating motherfucker, man. Really didn't scare you, but if this was 30 years ago and Twitter was around 30 years ago, you know, he probably would, I don't know if he would pull a Lindsay Dorado or a Dana Brooke fiance, you know. By the way, for people that don't know why I said Lindsay Dorado is gangsta, just look around social media today. I'll give you the short story of it. Somebody whose name should not be reposted so he's not acknowledged, you know, acts like a dick towards some wrestlers over the years. Was acting like a dick towards Lindsay Dorado, and Lindsay Dorado said, here, meet me here. I'm right in your backyard. Meet me here today. I even paid for your parking. Not only did the guy not show, but he took his Twitter down. We call that pussy. Look, I don't agree that you get trolled online, that the answer is to punch somebody out for real, you know. But sometimes you kind of say to yourself, yeah, somebody does deserve a punch in the mouth once in a while. Absolutely. But so Angelo Mosca, and if anybody is a longtime supporter of my work, you already know this. This is a true story. Back in the day, everybody would always make fun of my body hair. That when it came to my chest, I had King Kong Mosca hair. What's up with the Mosca chest? And the back hair, it was always George the Animal Steel. So whenever anybody made fun of my body hair, they would always call my chest Mosca hair. Yeah, and it looks like I'm wearing a singlet like him too. And I had George the Animal Steel hair on my back and King Kong Mosca on my chest. And that picture of me right there is actually not that bad. I will not show the Daphne picture. The chest hair, my God, you could have planted like trees with that chest hair. Seriously. But look, 84 years old, ripe, you know, life, had a decent wrestling career. You know, I know there's a lot of people who do remember him. And if you don't know anything about him, if you want to see some old school wrestling and see someone who, you know, was awesome as a heel, King Kong Mosca is one of your guys. You know, not the greatest, but good enough that back in the day, you were doing a local show. Hey, we'll have King Kong Mosca fight a babyface. He delivered. He absolutely delivered. So rest in peace, King Kong Mosca. All right. Still doing timestamps because, like I said, we want to keep these shows around 90 minutes. And we're rolling right through. We're rolling right through. James Edwards says, my hair is not as bad as Killian Dane's. Oh, I know. But I'm older now, you know? I mean, even at that time, I think I'm older than what... Well, then again, Killian Dane, I think, is getting up there a little bit. Look, we're not going to talk about this all that much right now because Monday, I'm going to be on with Mish, and I definitely want to get Mish's take on this, and we'll bounce it back and forth a little bit, but I still want to make you aware of it. In case you don't know, as expected, WWE announced the 5-on-5 Raw versus SmackDown teams for Survivor Series, the men and women's side. For people that are getting so angered that they announced it on social media, there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. Survivor Series is getting here very, very fast. They want TV from this point forward to be about the big time stars, the champions. Survivor Series is about champion versus champion. These 5-on-5s are never intended to be the focal point. Look, for your Lana haters out there, remember Lana? Wasn't too long ago with Survivor Series. So people are taking two matches that they really weren't going to really make a big deal about anyway, and getting angered because WWE announced the teams on social media. You can't do qualifying matches with such short amount of time left. You can't. So anyway, I wanted to show them to you. That is the women's side. We have Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, and Aliyah representing Team SmackDown. On the Raw side, we have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and obviously she needs to be in there because we don't have an opposing tag team champion to go up against Rhea and Nikki Ash. So obviously Rhea is on this team. Liv Morgan, right center of attention, Carmella and Queen Zelina. So that is your Raw side. Yeah, there's a couple of names we probably could have put on that list, and who knows? Maybe we get a swerve. Maybe we do an injury angle. Maybe somebody gets attacked, and someone else ends up being on the team. So that is the announced 5-on-5 right now. So Mike is saying, why Aliyah? Why not? Why not? It's not a look. People want to see Roman versus Big E, possibly Charlotte versus Becky, you know, RK-Bro versus the Usos, Damian Priest versus Shinsuke, maybe Corbin. Well, actually, no. Ah, good. So we are going to get Priest versus Shinsuke because, well, then again, things could change. Here's the men's side. The Team SmackDown, Drew McIntyre with the Claymore kick heard around the world yesterday against Ricochet. Jeff Hardy, King Woods. I don't know why everybody thought yesterday we're going to get a King Woods versus Roman Reigns feud. I mean, what happened yesterday on SmackDown is to plant the seeds for Big E to respond. It's about Big E versus Roman Reigns. I don't know why people seem to miss that yesterday. But anyway, good segments nonetheless. So we got Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Sami Zayn, and Happy Corbin. And honestly, we don't need Riddick Moss in this picture. We don't need him in this picture because if you want to really be technical, how come Kofi is not behind King Woods? Yeah, I know it's the only other person, but he's not on the team. Photoshop him. If I had more time today, I would have photoshopped him off this poster. On Team Raw, we got Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Dominic Mysterio. I mean, honestly, if you're forcing me to criticize this at all, where's Bobby Lashley? Seriously. I would have put Bobby Lashley on that team. Dominic doesn't need to be in Survivor Series. Nothing against Dominic, but he doesn't need to be there. Hell, I would have put Austin Theory on there. But we'll talk about it more on Monday. We'll talk about it more on Monday. So how's everybody doing this weekend? Everybody's doing good? I hope so. Five on fives. Let's see. Okay. And we talked about Roman Reigns. All right. Rampage and SmackDown. I'm just going to give you a quick match results. Couple of things get my attention. First of all, we had two dark matches. And by the way, that overnight rating from Rampage, I mean, it's right in the wheelhouse of, you know, what you and I have been talking about for months. Not for those out there that insist. And, you know, I give Tony Khan credit, but I also have to criticize him on something in a moment. Just wait a moment. If anybody knows why I said that, yeah, if anybody knows why I just said, just wait a moment. Get a free shirt. In fact, in the comment section, somebody or even in the chat, if somebody knows why I just said that, there's only a one-word answer. If you write it, you get a shirt. Because I do that to my fiance. People know what I'm talking about. Every time she says to me, honey, could you get me something to drink? Just wait a moment. Who's hating on me? Who's hating on me? I don't see anybody hating on me. All right, nobody's going to get it. I'll tell you because anybody out there ever watch those scammer calls where, like, people try to scam you, like Amazon refunds and stuff like that? There is a YouTube channel called Kit Boga. K Kitboga. Just look it up, K-I-T-B-O-G-A. It'll be your next favorite YouTube channel. And he scams the scammers, and he had a guy on there that was from India. I don't remember, Calcutta, whatever it is. And, you know, the guy must have said like 65 times. He would pressure him, like, should I do this? Just wait a moment. Just wait a moment. No. Just wait a moment. Just wait a moment. Just wait a moment. He turned it into a theme song. All right, SmackDown, we had two dark matches. Johnny Gargano over Kyle O'Reilly. Amari Miller over Dakota Kai. Shayna Baszler over Naomi. To open up SmackDown, Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza. Get rid of the last names. Now they're just Humberto and Angel. Los Lotharios. Los Lotharios. I know the name is a little bit but you know what? As long as they're good on TV, as long as they get a push, I say the same things like I said about the Viking Raiders back then. I'm fine with it. They beat Mansoor and Cesaro. Drew McIntyre over Ricochet, which was a fun match. I like Ricochet. A little bit of an attitude slap at Drew McIntyre. That Claymore was pretty damn good. If you missed it, check it out. The Viking Raiders over Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss by countout. King Woods with Sir Kofi. I always think of Men on a Mission when I hear that. Sir Mo. Beat Jimmy Uso with Jey Uso. And then after, obviously, Roman Reigns attacking King Woods. This is to provoke Big E. And people took it seriously when Roman Reigns said, wow, I'm not on SmackDown 1 week and this show sucks. It's almost as bad as Raw. That's just to spark outrage by the Raw stars. This is for Survivor Series, everybody. Just wait a moment. And a lot of you said you like it. I'm now adding up the times of all the matches so you could get an idea how much wrestling in the ring takes place on these shows. Yesterday's two-hour SmackDown, you had a total of 30 minutes and 44 seconds of wrestling, two-hour show. AEW, in 1 hour, they did 23 minutes and 40 seconds. So if you double that, they would have done almost 47 minutes of wrestling. That would have been almost 50% more, actually more than 50% than SmackDown. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, as far as Rampage goes, I give Tony Khan credit because Full Gear was supposed to take place where Rampage took place yesterday. And the thing is, because of UFC and because they didn't want to go head-to-head with UFC, they moved Full Gear, and Rampage obviously was not going to, Full Gear was not going to be in St. Louis, and Rampage was in its place. So Tony Khan yesterday apologized to the fans before Rampage started, and I thought that was a nice gesture. Because a lot of fans in that area were looking forward to Full Gear being in that area. And yes, Michael Gonzalez, even though I don't really watch UFC, I see everybody talking about the card tonight. Solid. Absolutely solid. So I give Tony Khan credit there. Where I criticized him yesterday was, I don't have the exact tweet in front of me, but basically he posted a tweet and he was like, look, everybody, the wrestling business, it's got its highs and its lows. And, sometimes, things don't work out. And, but we truly feel that we're good people and we stand by our wrestlers. And, basically he's putting over his company for not firing a plethora of people like WWE has. Then right after that, he says, and make sure you tune into Rampage Live tonight. And I don't know, to me it was like, okay, you want people to watch Rampage because you're good people or you're better people. Again, corporate America, billion-dollar company versus billion-dollar private company. Tony Khan and his father, Shad Khan, have to answer to the network and the advertisers and the wrestling fans. WWE, numero uno, they have to answer to the investors and the advertisers. Investors, stock market. Just running your business good could get you tens, hundreds of millions of dollars, as crazy as it sounds. Obviously, you got to deliver a good product as well. But look, we could piss in the wind and put down WWE, and that could be my new attitude going forward, bash everything WWE. My argument doesn't look good when the stock is up 60%, when they've made billions in net worth in a year, hundreds of millions, record profits, record sales, record merch, this and that. How do you argue that? Somebody said to me, oh no, just wait. Just wait a moment. Just wait a moment. Yeah, well, the stock market right now says, hey, you're doing a good job. It's very hard to make that argument. Again, we don't have to agree with WWE. We have to understand WWE. So, Rampage yesterday had Brian Danielson over Anthony Bowens, which was a fun match. Red Velvet over the Bunny to advance in the TBS tournament. And I do have the updated brackets. I'll show it to you in a second. Adam Cole with the Young Bucks in his corner over John Silver. And we had an epic face-to-face between Eddie Kingston and CM Punk. Look, we talked about it on Wednesday's show. We talked about it on Thursday's show. There was no doubt those two guys were going to sell us on their match for full gear, sell us a bridge, sell us the world. You got two top-notch guys on the mic. Eddie Kingston, very, very real. Very streetwise, CM Punk, very intelligent, very professional. He will professionally make you cry with insults. You know, these two guys nailed it yesterday. I'm a little disappointed that the overnight rating for Rampage is lower than last week. We don't know the final rating, but it's going to be 10% drop. That's a little surprising. It's a little surprise, especially that the show was live. I mean, if Tony Khan could learn anything on this, right now they'll take it as a one-off. But if Tony Khan learns anything about yesterday, is AEW fans that want to watch Rampage on Friday are going to watch Rampage on Friday, whether it's live or if it's taped. Yes, you, me, and everybody out there that likes watching AEW programming, we would probably prefer it live. We don't want to be spoiled. Now, to be honest with you, did you think Anthony Bowens was beating Brian Danielson? Did you think John Silver was going to beat Adam Cole? When do we get the upset? Oh, Orange Cassidy beat Chris Jericho. I forgot. Where's the upsets? Where are the upsets? Did Fuego really win any big upset? Where's the upsets, Tony? How's about one of these elite wrestlers, and they don't have to be in the camp of the Young Bucks? When is one of these top new signees or signees over the last year or two? And don't say to me, well, Sammy Guevara beat the Redeemer. I mean, Miro was going to lose sooner or later. But, I mean, just really, like, big upset. Oh, my God, John Silver beat Adam Cole. Oh, my God, Anthony Bowens beat Brian Danielson. Of course you're not going to do it right before a pay-per-view, before anybody says it in the comment. I guarantee you some people were just typing that, and now I just said that, and they're like, fuck. Now I got to hit the delete button. But we knew the outcome of these matches, but we still want to be surprised. We still want to be surprised. So, yes, we prefer to watch it live. But if there is a much bigger expense having it live, then recorded, if I was Tony Khan, just stick to one format. Because doing it live yesterday, you know, it really did not deliver in the numbers. And you can't blame it on the World Series, unless there was a Game 8, because Game 7 would have happened, I think, the day before. You know, we didn't have any major political stuff. So, anyway, so those of your SmackDown and Rampage results. Yeah, we talked about Tony Khan as well. What else we got here? So CM Punk and Eddie Kingston at Full Gear is confirmed. And a match that you and I already talked about that we knew was going to end up happening too. We got Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian. They're going to be taking on Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. It's going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match. That's so Michael Nakazawa and Brandon Cutler could get involved. We may see Marco Stunt get involved in a certain way. You see me looking down. I actually printed up 4 pages of notes for tonight's show because I wanted to be a little bit more organized than usual. So I apologize for that. Look, you say nobody wanted the Braves versus the Astros in the World Series. Yeah, Braves and Astro fans wanted them in the World Series. So, Rye Baker, thank you very much for the Fiverr Super Chat. Oh, yeah, look, Rye, I am not going anywhere. I want to make this clear. My shows are still here on YouTube. My shows are still going to be on DonTony.com. They're still going to be available on all your platforms, iHeart, everywhere else, Pandora? Yeah, Pandora. You know, Podbean. You know, some of those networks I've never, ever visited. Somebody a couple of weeks ago, I told Mitch, somebody's like, you got a big following on Podbean. I'm like, I've never been on Podbean. They're all going to be there. But they're all going to get their shows from the network that I signed with. So I am actually part of that network. You'll see the banner. I'll be getting big-time press releases from them, and they're doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. All I got to do is just tighten up the ship, be a little bit better, a little more organized, be a little bit smarter, you know? It's all good. Yeah, look, I want everybody to know, you know, when I started doing this in 97, in 2002 is when I started putting stuff online. But back in like 03, 04, all I did was Google. And any place that would post my shows, I just signed up. And I forgot about it. And meanwhile, for years and years, some of these places have their own file with their own advertising on it, and I got nothing. So that changes. It's going to be a little more professional going forward. So I'm not leaving, Larry. I'm not changing nothing. You might see a couple of less curses here and there. And you're going to get an extra show when we start doing the sit-down. You know, when we do live calls, we're going to do a show that's going to be nothing but calls. So for all of you out there that want to call in about anything, we're going to have a show dedicated just for that. So stay tuned. I think we'll have an announcement probably this week. Look, I'm under contract already. So, you know, I'd like to start banking. A little bankroll. I got a wedding to pay for. It's all good, everybody. It's all good. All right. What else do we want to get into? Oh. Okay. Seriously, props to everyone out there who is posting feedback from Thursday's show. Probably one of the biggest responses of any of the shows ever. And yeah, I'm kind of like giving you the shortcut, but don't forget, you could participate Thursday. You know, hashtag boss, hashtag Scarlet on Thursday's show, not tonight, Thursday. We're going to be giving these two away next week, next Thursday. And thank God I always close, you know, I always close my water bottle, and some people have said to me, DT, it's a little annoying here, and you open up when I have the metal bottle. This just dropped. If this would have been open, if I were to take a people's advice, it would have been water everywhere right now. The book company sent me 4 copies. We gave away 2 already. I think we have another contest next week for 2 more. So next week we're going to have 2 more on top of it. So we're going to give away 6 copies altogether. I have not read it yet. Slipper House says, thank you, Pastor Tony. Much love, my friend. Thank you. Look, I love doing this for all of you. You know, you're the reason why I'm doing this. Believe me, yes, you know, we're going to finally make a couple of dollars out of it. You know, but I'm only going to work harder. So, and like I said, I'm sorry if some of the conversation we have might be a little boring, might be a little extra detailed. It's just, I don't want to be one of the, and again, I have no problem with anyone out there that has a different style, different attitude, different viewpoints, you know, but in my honest opinion, you know, I think being honest, straightforward, real, you know, about this, whether it's the mental health or WWE corporate and why people are released. You think I wanted Keith Lee released? A lot of people said to me, DT, out of everybody, who surprised you the most? And my answer was Keith Lee. My second answer was Nia Jax. But wait a minute. You didn't choose Karrion Kross? No, because social media has called him a clown. Even before the mask, they called him a clown when he was in NXT, when Adam Cole cut that promo. Instead of just saying, like me, look, you know, he's, you know, as time goes by, he's going to put it all together with the promos. He'll get it, this and that. You know, give him time, give him time. He came back from an injury. You know, does anybody realize how little time Karrion Kross was in NXT? I've watched people in the last 2 days do podcasts on YouTube. And again, I respect a lot of people's views, even if they don't agree with mine. But they put in the big banners a picture of Karrion Kross, another one of Triple H's, you know, experiments or failures or WWE fail. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Anybody ever stop to think how short Karrion Kross's career was on NXT? The guy never got enough time to create an identity. Do you remember when Karrion Kross was in NXT? And I know a lot of you remember this. And the fans were booing him. And remember when I said week after week, I said, what's his identity? 1 week, he comes out right after he won the NXT title, and the crowd is chanting, fall and pray. You'll remember this, fall and pray, fall and pray. What did Karrion Kross do with the mic? Pretend this is a microphone. The fans are behind me. Karrion Kross takes a microphone and does this. That's a gesture to say, look, you know, I hear you, I acknowledge you, and the fans are chanting, fall and pray. He's doing this. A week later, he's acting like the biggest heel, and they're piping in heel chants, and you hear all this heel noise, and the fans have their hands on their asses. And it just was confusing. Then he feuds with Santos Escobar. Are we supposed to cheer him, or is he a heel? Are we supposed to do this or that? And then they finally, with Samoa Joe, remember Samoa? They finally picked the direction. Okay, Karrion Kross, you're a big-time heel. You're going to choke out Samoa Joe. That is your direction. And what happened? He got shitted out of the building by the NXT fans. Oh, no. The fans, they don't know what they're talking about. No. We know. Good look on social media. They were putting down Kross in NXT. Throughout all this stuff, why is he champion? Add the five-way. Anybody? See, you could tweet and delete, but you can't tweet and edit. Go back to the five-way. Look. We still haven't given it away. Look. It's autographed by everybody. Remember this? It's amazing how many people that are not there anymore. Well, not that many. But there's a few. Look at the top. Kross is gone. Adam Cole is gone. Weed whacking Willie. Yes, I agree with you, man. Thank you for the $2 super chat. I am still not over Bray's release. I still think Bray Wyatt could be back. I still think that could happen. You know, understand something. When he's tweeting now saying, look, everybody, at the right place, the right time. You know, like, okay, Halloween already came and went. You know, so it can't be a Halloween theme to it. Like, if Impact Wrestling is not the right place in the right time now, when is it? If MLW is not the right place in the right time now, when is it? January? Christmas? Ho, ho, ho. I'm Wyndham Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Like, right place, right time. I honestly think he could go work for somewhere else for a cup of coffee. Who knows? Maybe if he's going to do something with AEW, maybe it happens right after Full Gear. That is a possibility. But, you know, a month, 2 months go by and nothing is going on, you know, and then you got to start thinking to yourself, like, gee, where would he be a good fit? Psycho Bray is taking time off. Well-deserved time off. You look at all these, there's quite a few people. But you remember this pay-per-view? Why is Cross champion? Oh, no. Cross, he's going to lose the belt. You know, a lot of people that get released, when their merchandise is not selling, and the biggest noise online is putting those people down, and then they get released. And then suddenly they're big supporters of these people. It's a weird thing about it. Like all of a sudden, Kyle O'Reilly's being superimposed on all these elite AEW banners. Kyle O'Reilly is all elite. And meanwhile, the Undisputed Era for 3-4 years that was killing it in NXT, killing it. And all they would say, Kyle O'Reilly, fuck out of here. Nobody watches Undisputed Era for Kyle O'Reilly. Well, now because he fights Bobby Fish in AEW, now all of a sudden, no, Kyle O'Reilly, yeah, I'm going to dress like him. I'm just not going to wear shades because they might mistake me for Orange Cassidy or whatever it is. Come on. You know, you see what's going on online. You know, I'm a supporter of Cross. The mask, I tried to look at it as, you know what, it's chicken shit, turn it into chicken salad. What did I always say? He comes down to the ring for 15 seconds wearing a mask. I don't have anything I could put on. Stupid. I don't have anything stupid I could put on. Even, you know, look. All right, this is bad. Okay, look. All right, I'm in NXT on the main roster, and yeah, they decide, you know what? All right, I'm going to go to the ring. Soon as I get to the ring, I take the fucking glasses off, and I be the best person I could be. You know, it's not like he had the, and don't get me because of suspenders. It's funny how nobody's talking about the suspenders the last 2 days. They keep talking about a mask that he takes off after 15 seconds walking down the ring. Yes, Lee, put on a taco bowl. I haven't eaten dinner yet, believe it or not. I am eating dinner right after this show. But, you know, some of the names should not have been released. But again, I think there's more to the story about Keith Lee than meets the eye. But you look at all the releases like we talked about on Thursday. Are any of the storylines changed? The current storylines. WWE is living for the moment. Just wait a moment. They're living for the moment. They're micromanaging. They're doing the same thing they did with their office. They realize we only need to use 15 people. You know what I got to start doing? I think I'm going to start doing it this week. I told you earlier how many minutes we have of wrestling on SmackDown, how many minutes of wrestling we have on Rampage. I'm going to do it for Raw as well. But I'm also going to point out how many different wrestlers were on the show. And when, truthfully, when you look at the pattern, you're going to be like, oh my God, WWE uses like 1/3 the number of wrestlers compared to a, 1 week, not too long ago. I don't know if it was Darren that did this, but he ended up to 80 people were on Dynamite. 80. How many did SmackDown have yesterday? Let's see. All right, let's see. I have the matches in front of me. Baszler, Naomi. All right, 2. All right, let's put Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. 4. Los Lodarios and then Mansoor and Cesaro. Okay, that's 8. Drew McIntyre, Ricochet is 10. Viking Raiders, Corbin and Moss is 14. King Woods, Kofi, Usos, 18. Roman Reigns, 19. Shotzi, oh. I didn't talk about Shotzi's promo yesterday. But look, we just added up. There's probably 5 names that I'm forgetting here. Okay, we had 20 on the active show. 25. You want to go 30? Go 30. There's 10 names that I forgot. AEW's 80. 80. Anyway. Shotzi Blackheart. I had the most important match against Charlotte. I'm fed up. I'm pissed off. I'll be honest with you. I have always said when someone turns heel that is not normally a heel, let's give it a chance. Let's see what they can do. Sometimes they knock it out of the park, and sometimes it fails miserably. If you remember when they did the draft, the night of the draft, I said, Sasha Banks is going back to SmackDown. She's going to be a babyface. She's going to be the number one babyface on SmackDown because they're not going to turn Charlotte as a babyface. Who is the role model for the little girls, especially little kids too, but who's the one that everybody's going to dress up for and act like on SmackDown? I don't know how to dance like Sasha Banks. I look like Ralph Cramden more than Sasha Banks. But Shotzi Blackheart, you would think, sell the fucking nerves. See Adam Bomb? Sell them like that. Shotzi, whatever you want to call them, Shotzi Bombs. Maybe they were afraid that, you know. But still, Shotzi Blackheart could be that girl, that woman, that could sell a lot of gimmicky stuff. But yeah, you could sell miniature tanks. Sure, absolutely, Wombology. But what I think is going to happen with Shotzi, because her promo yesterday, it was good, but you could feel the force, you know, the WWE universe turned on me. However she said it, it's like, forced. No, I don't want to eat it. It felt forced. I think what's going to happen is they're going to have to tweak her character a little bit, where she's more angered about opportunity and less about WWE Universe. I don't want to compare it to Braun Strowman. But remember that night with Roman Reigns? And I probably can't do the impersonation anymore, but remember that night? He was feuding with Roman Reigns, and they did the thing with the ambulance, I think, or the truck in the back, whatever they were doing. And something interesting happened. Fans were getting behind Braun Strowman a hell of a lot more than they were getting behind Roman Reigns. And you felt this organic push towards Braun Strowman. The fans were getting into it. They fucking loved when he was fucking with Roman Reigns. Then he went on Raw one time, and he cut this promo, this forced promo. Just like all of you, I hate Roman Reigns. And if you followed the storyline up until that day, it was like, well, that was kind of odd and stupid. Like, it was forced. And WWE at that point forward insisted on forcing the fans to go against this guy instead of let it organically, because they were hell-bent on having Roman Reigns beat a babyface out of this. I can't do I'm not finished with you, because he's angered. I'm not, you know, he's more angered. He just said, I'm not finished with you. He doesn't talk like that. But Shotzi, you know, look, Shotzi Blackheart, everybody needs to understand this, and I'm defending Shotzi Blackheart here. Shotzi Blackheart is designed to be a babyface, to be liked by fans out there. You know, for some others, that's for the audio-only friends out there. But Shotzi Blackheart is designed to be well-liked. And this just goes totally against the grain. Unless Aaliyah is going to be put in that role or someone else, not necessarily Leah, but I don't see this lasting. But since Shotzi Blackheart is, you got to understand, you can't just, maybe CM Punk could do it. You can't just turn it on and turn it off. Shotzi Blackheart has been a babyface for a while. For a while. It's not just the way you talk. It's the way you act. It's the way you wrestle. It's your mannerisms. She now has to change all of that. And, you know, this is the big time. And it's live. And, you, yes, maybe a backstage segment is pre-recorded, but when you're in the ring, there's only one take. Can I do that again? There's only one take. So Shotzi has been doing it a certain way for a long time. Can't just out of nowhere. All right. Change it up. So I have a, give her time. Give her time. I don't want to call it a complete failure yet. I don't think it is. But I don't understand why Sasha can't be a huge babyface or the number one babyface, and why Shotzi can't be a big babyface too. I don't get that. It's a little surprising to me. Darren Gordon Hill, yesterday, Undisputed Era was a fantastic WWE production. Adam Cole and three boring as fuck guys, none of which are over, but now what a faction. Oh, he means yesterday, everybody said, what a fantastic production. I think that's what he said. I always, on this show, always talked about how great the Undisputed Era was. You know, what gets me is this, Darren. Thank you for the super chat, by the way. What gets me is this. NXT, when Adam Cole was reigning supreme, before it felt like it's run its course. Look, we all said Adam Cole faced everybody in NXT. It felt like it ran its course. I think we all agree on that. When Adam Cole was reigning supreme on NXT, the ratings were only 500,000 to 700,000. So why does everybody suddenly think that Adam Cole is going to get over 1 million? Oh, put him up against CM Punk. Yeah, for what? One time? Two times? That's for a pay-per-view. You know, I mean, when they show these charts and you see 700, 800,000, you know, sure, it's a higher rating in AEW because AEW's got 80 people to choose from. If you walk into a restaurant and the restaurant only sells seafood, fish, well, I'm not in the mood for fish. Honey, let's go. Go somewhere else. But you walk in, I'm not in the mood for fish. I don't like fish. Oh, there's tacos, there's hamburgers, french fries, eggs. You could have breakfast for dinner, dinner for breakfast. You could have salad. You could have, you know, whatever you want. Corned beef, pastrami melt, chicken. You know, when you have all these other things, that are, hey, it's got to be something. Come on, little bratty Brian. Come on, there's got to be something on the menu that you like. So, of course, if he's surrounded by 79 other people on a show, chances are you're going to watch it more. So, you know, there's very few people on AEW that would get 1 million viewers right now. And that's why Tony Khan really has to dial it back. Darren is saying, yesterday I called him one of the best recent factions, and some of the parts are greater than none. Sure, but it also has to do with how they're presented. War Games would have meant nothing without a deep hate storyline between Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. And then you add in Pete Dunne, and you add in, you know, I think it was Lorcan and Birch. You know, there was a deep, big feud storyline out of it. Not just a little comedy here, a little comedy there, a week off, promo, match against somebody for no reason, then another week off, then a promo, and then, oh, look, pay-per-view. That's not necessarily the formula that might work. It'll work for some people, but not for all. So, you know, if you're still, after yesterday, think about it, after yesterday, the rating is going to be right in that 600,000 range, maybe even a little less. live. You say, so why? Why? There was no Friday night football. Da-da-da. You know, why? There was no big replay that's on SmackDown that was airing in prime time to go up against him. You know, why was it so low? Because 550 to 750 was the audience that it should be generating, period. Like I said on Thursday, I make a prediction that before the end of 2022, Rampage will be 2 hours. Rampage will be 2 hours. Just want to get into a couple more super chats and we're going to wrap it up. Weed Whack and Willie, I agree with you again. Still not over Bray Wyatt's release, but I think he will be back. I really do. What the hell was that? Sound like somebody just stepped on a cow's foot. I don't know if you heard that. I mean, I know the mic doesn't pick up that far away. I heard something go, bleh. I didn't pull my pants down. Bob the Builder, thank you very much for the super chat, my friend. Do I think CM Punk is a Hall of Famer? Yes. Yeah, I do. I don't know if he'll ever... You know what? I think one day he may accept the WWE Hall of Fame bid. Not for a long time from now, but Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame? Yeah, CM Punk is a Hall of Famer. CM Punk has had a long enough career that is worthy. You know, his Ring of Honor work was spectacular. His WWE work was excellent as well. His AEW work is fun. It's got a lot of nostalgia attached to it. You know, CM Punk has decent matches. It's going to be interesting to see him and Eddie Kingston, which is going to be more of a brawl than anything else. But CM Punk has done enough. Yeah, he is a Hall of Famer. He is. I don't even think twice about it. I wouldn't call him top 10 of the greatest wrestlers of all time. You know, very new and young wrestling fans would say that, and that's totally understandable. But no, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, in my honest opinion. Definitely. Slipper House, extra, extra. Thank you very much again for the kind words. I appreciate that. Also, Rye Baker, thank you very much for the kind words in the super chat. Roger Rubio, yes, I enjoyed that coffee. And Crazy Cruiserweight, we talked about Angelo Mosca earlier. Yeah, I wasn't trying to be cold when I said, you know, when people were like, oh, you'll be sorely missed, King Kong. Yeah, maybe family. And maybe a couple of close friends that still play cards with him. I mean, but for us, I mean, the last time we really thought about King Kong Mosca is when he had that fight on a stage. You know, it's, you know, look, passing away, everybody handles it differently. You know, nobody wants to see anybody pass away. Even if it's somebody that we have not seen. Look, the guy from Bosom Buddies died about a week or two ago. What was his name again? I'm drawing a blank right now. Someone in the chat room will bail me out. He died. I haven't watched any of his stuff, really, in a long time. But you still, you know, because you realize that everybody at some point, we all are going to go. And we don't know when our time is going to come. And Peter Scolari, thank you, KD. You know, who knows? A year from now, I might be dead. Seriously. A year from now, some of you may be dead. Not intentional, not accidental. It might just be our time to go. You just never know. But still, when you hear about somebody passing, it's, you know, especially when it's somebody that we enjoyed in a wrestling ring, in a movie, in a TV show. You know, it's like another part of our childhood is gone, you know. And I think about some of the wrestlers, you know, like Terry Funk. I think about him. I think about Morocco. I think about Foley. I think about Vince. I'm just sticking with wrestling right now. I think about some of those wrestlers that, you know, when it's their time to go, which hopefully is not for a long time, but when it's their time to go, no matter what, it's going to be tremendously sad because, you know, that person is no longer on this earth. And it's, you realize that you could see like this banner, and we'll put this schmuck up there one more time just for the hell of it. You see this banner, you know, I give Kevin props, because even with the picture of Bret Hart, you know, it's a more recent version of Bret Hart. Road Warrior Animal, you know, you put makeup on, Road Warrior Animal looked awesome up until it was time to go. But these pictures depict wrestlers in the current day and age. You look at a lot of banners, they'll post a picture of a wrestler from 20 years ago, you know. So you always remember somebody at a certain era in their life. You know, somebody passes, you might think of them in the over the last 10 years, or you might see a picture of them from 20, 25 years ago, and that seems more suitable, you know. We just don't want to see anybody go. But at some point, we all go. That's why I always say, I don't want to take time for granted. Just have fun. And that's it. That's why, honestly, I could take that jerk off the screen. But honestly, that's why somebody wrote earlier, somebody was, I forget which show it was really upset the other day, cursing out WWE. And I'm like, man, if you were not fired from WWE and it's not a relative of yours that was fired from WWE, if it's one of your big-time favorites and that's why you tuned in, I can understand being visibly upset. You know, but to get that angry, when it seems like you and I are angrier than the person released, that's where I think there's problems. You know, it sucks. But this is what happens when you follow a billion-dollar publicly traded company. I'm not defending them. But you have to understand it in the corporate sense. Because if you don't, and you look at WWE like an indie fed, that's not how it's run. It's business. It's not personal. It should be personal sometimes. Once in a while, it becomes personal. Emma, Drake Maverick, somebody gets rehired. Look at Drew McIntyre. I always use Drew McIntyre as an example. Drew McIntyre was let go years ago, and he transformed his body. He recreated himself, got obsessed, dedicated himself, did some decent work and impact. Goes to NXT. Triple H pointed to him. And the guy does great in NXT for the short time he was there. And guess what? He's one of the main eventers now on the product. When everybody says that Triple H's legacy is being erased like Benoit, I mean, just look at the current roster. Of course, Bianca Belair is not on that, you know, uber superstar level yet, but she's getting there. You look at some of the wrestlers who are established. Maybe Asuka's not being used the way she should. But, I mean, my God, you look up and down that roster, and at least a third of these stars have passed through NXT. It's a big deal. But I will leave you now with the same thing I said opening up. You see billions of dollars being made. How much of that is from NXT? How much of it is from NXT ticket sales? How much of it is from NXT merchandise? So you tell me, when someone goes through NXT and Triple H pushes them to the moon, everybody that follows NXT enjoys it, and then it doesn't work out on the main roster, is anybody willing to say, you know what, maybe Triple H utilize this person that is better suited for a more smaller, intimate audience. That person might be great for a small company, a big fish, a big fish in a little pond, but might not be good as a big fish in a big pond. You know, that's it. You know, everybody acts like Triple H, not everybody, but people act like Triple H is not part of corporate. Triple H is part of World Wrestling Entertainment. He's not a renegade. He's not an outsider. None of the investors are worried about it. None of the investors are questioning him. None of the investors brought up AEW the other day. Why didn't any of the investors bring up AEW? before the conference call, you think Stephanie and Vince said, if you want to talk about AEW, you know, we'll talk about it. Or do you think they said, no AEW, no Elite. We will not connect you if you bring up Elite. No. They're concerned about WWE's bottom line, not AEW's bottom line. You look at baseball, and you see the amount of money made in baseball. And look at how many teams there are. You see movies. You see how many movie companies are there. Yeah, they compete for you to buy their movies. But, you know, wrestling does not have to have only one person in town. And for some reason, people try to act like, because AEW is doing good, that it's going to hurt WWE. That's not what the Monday Night Wars were about. Management, the wrestlers, yes. But for wrestling, we walked around bragging how big wrestling had become. Didn't matter if you were ECW, WCW, WWF, somewhere in the middle. We all bragged. Look, I still haven't put them away. You got Goldberg shows up on the cover. Steve Austin shows up on the cover. The Undertaker shows up on the cover. Oh my God, this is WCW and WWE all in the same week. How could that be? We just fucking loved that. Wow, pro wrestling is cool. Pro wrestling is the shit. There's too many people now that, because AEW is doing good, that means WWE is doing bad. Or WWE has to do bad. No, how's about if AEW is doing good and WWE is doing good, then wrestling becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, it's people, I don't know. I like I said, I think there's a lot of people that never had the opportunity to experience the Monday Night Wars that want it and want it bad and think that, you know, like Triple H is going to be the big defector to go to like WCW. You know, like he's going to walk out on WWE and he's going to join the competition, or he's going to be the CM Punk of, you know, management. You know, stop insisting that Triple H is not part of management, that's not an outsider. You see wrestling websites questioning that, but you don't see the investors question that. And again, it might be boring and it might not be sexy, but you ask yourself, who is more important that should be more concerned? Somebody with a podcast or somebody with $10, $20, $30 million invested in WWE? Podcasts will tell you Triple H is a clown. He's a dunce. He's an outsider. He's unhappy. He wants to walk out. He should leave and go to AEW. And then you got the $20, $30, $40, $50 million investor that doesn't even question it. But I heard that's where you know that people just, they're taking their personal views and frustration and trying to turn it into news or fact. If you say it enough, people believe it. You say it enough, people will believe it. When I see investors questioning it and I see answers from WWE that makes me think otherwise, that's when I'll start asking the questions. Well, I don't care who it is. If somebody that is a wrestling fan says it, but an investor doesn't, and no investors don't, something tells me that I trust the corporate side of it. We don't have to agree with it, but we understand it. So anyway, yeah, everybody's still talking about passing away. Sure, we're going to be sad when Undertaker is no longer here. It's just another part of our childhood that's gone. You know, as much as, you know, I really believe now that Snuka, unintentionally, but Snuka killed Nancy Argentina. Snuka was my top two or three of favorite wrestlers growing up. You know how sad? Look, I paid for Mexico's Most Wanted to wrestle Sabu and Jimmy Snuka in USA Pro Wrestling. It was a fantasy match that everybody wanted. And Frank Goodman, businessman, smart man, Anthony, you want this match to happen? You're going to have to pay for Mexico's Most Wanted. But if fans tune up, tune in, they show up, you'll get your money back. I got my money back. So, but still, it saddened me when he died. It saddened me when George the Animal Steel died. It saddened me when some people I was friends with died. You know, that's why, like I said, when I go, whenever it's my time to go, I want to go, and the last thing everybody thinks about is that I was happy, having fun. Even if I ate the stupid Goldberg cereal, by the way, that night, I was okay, but my throat felt a little bit odd. I think it was just coincidence, but I don't want to be one of those that just yells and complains and just puts everything down and everything sucks and this, this, and that. There's 95 wrestling promotions out there. I will not be forced to cover something simply because I'm doing a show. You know, if I like something or if I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, I will. But just because I don't like something doesn't mean I have to piss in the wind and be wrong about it. I just don't understand. Show me in the corporate numbers from 2 days ago where anybody in WWE, as cold as it sounds, show me why somebody in management should be fired. Show me why somebody in creative should be fired. Because they put a hockey mask on Karrion Kross. Yeah, I didn't like it, but I tried to make the best of it. Look, I know Kross will take chicken shit, turn it into chicken salad. He takes the mask off before he enters the ring. When he goes in the ring, everybody oohs and ahs, and that's all that matters. And he was on a winning streak. He won like 5-6 matches in a row. And then the draft came up, and that was it. They never brought him back after the draft. They were going to bring him back. They were. But again, right now, and I'm going to leave you with this, and we're going to close it out. Understand, if you haven't figured it out yet, remember this more than anything else. WWE is doing two things. They are micromanaging their company, which is why the numbers are all spectacular, because investors see, wow, you know, as cold as it sounds, they're not keeping 20, 30, 40, 50 extra wrestlers on a roster because it's the right thing to do. You know, I know that sounds good, but that's not smart business. You waste all that extra money, even though it feels good. It feels good. You know, that person is still working for me, even though they're doing nothing. Even though they show up once a month, it still feels good. Well, if I run into major problems and I can't afford to wrestle, but and then I look back on it and say, yeah, but you know what? When you look back on it, that person paid all their wrestlers for all of these years, and that's the good thing. Yeah, and that feels good, but your company's still fucking out of business. You're still in debt. So remember this, WWE's micromanaging their roster. They realized we don't need to have 60 people on our show. We could do 30 and only 15 of them need to be in the ring. Only 15 of them. SmackDown, only in the ring, only in the ring. Shayna, Naomi, the tag team match, Lothario's, Mansoor, and Cesaro. That's 6. McIntyre and Ricochet, 8. Viking Raiders, Corbin and Moss, that's 12. King Woods versus Jimmy, that is 14. 14 wrestlers in the ring. You had 2, 3, 4 outside the ring. That's less than 20. AEW had 80. So you tell me who ended up managing their money a little bit better. I'm not talking about the in-ring product. AEW entertains me more than WWE most of the time right now. That's being honest. By the way, should have mentioned this too. They had a dark match after SmackDown went off the air yesterday. It was Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders over the Usos and Roman Reigns, just in case you want to know. So, again, I don't want to be one of those that just does a show based on emotion. Fuck WWE. Fuck, 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 fuck. Or fuck Tony Khan, AEW sucks, this guy's a goof, he's a money mark, this sucks, everybody this, you know, all the friends and family all get the opportunity, blah, 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 blah. I'd rather just be honest, be real, understand things, be happy, and have a little fun. And we could criticize as well. And, you know, if you like it, cool. Darren is saying stop stealing your gimmick. Darren, I've been doing this since you were an embryo, and so, and your mom's, you know what, so. Anyway, I'm going to jet out of here, everyone. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I know we had a few extra minutes talking at the end, but it's all good. It's all good. Tonight, the clocks go ahead an hour. No, we fall back, right? Fall back. Spring ahead, fall back. So we actually get an extra hour's sleep tonight, which is pretty cool. I could use that extra hour's sleep. So Monday, I will be here with Mish. We will talk more about Survivor Series. Any news that breaks over the weekend, we'll get into that as well. There's a few topics that I purposely did not get into tonight. We'll talk about it on Monday. And Shezzy, I'll announce the winner of the Dynamite ratings contest on Monday. So I'm not going to lie, I didn't go over it yet from Thursday. But I promise you, you have my word on this. Tomorrow in the community section, I'll announce the winner, and then I'll make it official on Monday's show as well. So I will definitely do that tonight for sure. In fact, I even think there's a Patreon contest that I have to announce a winner for. We'll do that on Tuesday for the Patreon show, but we got that as well. But I hope everybody enjoys the rest of your weekend. If you're going to watch UFC tonight, enjoy it. I mean, again, I'm not a viewer of UFC, but you know, I'm not denying that card is pretty solid. And again, Lince Dorado, freaking gangster. I don't condone showing up, you know, to physically. Hell, Bully Ray back in the day was going to pay for me to go to Florida to confront him in the ring. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I ain't fucking stupid, you know, but it was a learning lesson because I realized, yeah, you know what? I kind of deserved it. And that kind of changed me as well. Yeah, he scared me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But he was right. He was right. You know, it was, you know, not my greatest moments, but, you know, memory nonetheless. Nobody has me blocked anymore. Actually, there's like four or five people still. Three of them, I'm still confused why I'm blocked in the first place. Maybe guilty by circumstance or association, guilty by association. But anyway, everyone have a great weekend. And if you don't mind on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, you know, hit that like button. If you know anyone else out there that may not be a subscriber, you know, let them know about the channel or, hey, you're on social media. You know, I promise you, no one is going to kick your ass or curse you out if you go on Twitter or Facebook and say, hey, everybody, I don't know if you're a fan or if you've ever checked out this channel, but check out DT. You know, he tells it straight up. It might be a little uneventful sometimes, but, you know, he spits facts and backs it up with facts and, you know, whatever. So I appreciate it. I appreciate it. So everyone have a great night. Much love as always. And I'm out of here. So take care, everybody. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.